Is it written there? Sure. Do you want to give it to me? Or is it not clear? Okay, need some deciphering. Yeah.
Surrendering unto the Lord is the function of the independence given to the jiva.
Yeah, surrendering to the Lord is a function which is made possible by the independence given to the jiva by the Supreme Lord. Yeah.
So we have verses like Namam Dushkitina Murha Papatyanti Naradama,
which
shows that these four types of people are misusing their independence.
So verses like Namam Dushkitina Murha Papatyanti Naradama means it describes people are misusing that independence.
So the question is, how the modes of nature affect this independence?
How do the modes of nature affect this independence? Karanam guna sangosya sadya sadya nijam. Yeah, you didn't finish the question? Oh, okay, go on.
So, is it that the amount of independence which is given is affected by the modes, or is it the use, proper use and misuse that is influenced by the modes?
Is it that the amount of independence is affected by the modes? Or is it
the ability to use or misuse?
Or the ability to use or misuse that independence
is affected by the modes.
Which came first, the chicken or the egg? It's that kind of question.
Because we also have the verses Mami Partha Vipashita Yepisu Papa Yoni, which means
even people born of Papa Yoni, they can also take shelter of me. Okay. Which came first, the chicken or the egg? Well, what came first was desire to forget Krishna. Krishna bhuli se jivan adi bahir muk. Atayiv maya tare deya sangsar duk. We enter the material world and we forget Krishna. We become inimical to Krishna and then we maya treats us to a course of material suffering, suffering in the material world. So that verse is there, Purusha Prakriti Stohi Bhunkte Prakriti Jan Guna Karanam Guna Sangosya Sada Sadhya Oni Janmasu. The living being is placed or is situated in material nature. Purusha Prakriti Stohi Bhunkte Prakriti Jan Guna. He enjoys or suffers various situations under the modes of material nature. It, due to his association with the modes of material nature, he attains better or worse situations. So if one is influenced by the, or if one comes into contact with the lower modes of nature, then one's independence becomes less, even in the human form of life. In tamogun, it's almost like animal life. There's very little power of discrimination or even thought of anything higher than enjoying the senses in a very gross way. In rajoguna, there's discrimination, is there? But one tends to exercise that on the basis of material good and bad. And in sattva-guna, the quest for spirituality becomes prominent. So one comes in contact with higher and lower modes. It's like a roller coaster ride through the material nature. One karanam guna sangosya sada sadyoni janmasu. One may be in one life a king, the next life a subject, kabu raja, kabu praja, kabu dasa prabhu. In one lifetime you may be a servant, in another case you may be a lord, kabu dev, kabu daita. I can't remember exactly. This Prema Vivarta says that one goes through all different situations according to one's association with the modes of material nature. And it's very difficult to chart exactly how you will go, because we have the whole material setup is extremely complex. So one may be cultivating the mode of goodness, But then come in contact with something from the lower modes, and then some deep dormant desire becomes activated, as in the case of Ajamil. He wasn't cultivating anything but the higher level, but just he came in contact with something very low level, and immediately those sanskars, those impressions within his heart became activated. So if one is in contact with the lower modes of nature, as much as one is in contact with the lower modes of nature, that much one's independence is lessened. But even in the very low level of consciousness, if one comes in contact with a pure devotee, then one may be uplifted. And that's true not only in the human life, but more likely in the human life, even in tamogun. And there are others who have already they've already made their decision. They know about Krishna and they don't want to have anything to do with it. Such people are matiyana krishne paratasvatova. So that's a demoniac attitude. So we say controlled by the modes of nature. Prakriti kriyamana ni gunai karmani sarvashaha hankara vimurhatma kartaham iti manyate. He's swept around by the modes of material nature and thinks that I'm doing everything. But that's why the endeavor in human life should be to come up to sattva guna and from there to beyond. But by the varnashram system, even if one is in the lower modes, one can be engaged in Krishna conscious activities. Or even if he doesn't have a very developed sense of understanding what Krishna consciousness is, just by being engaged by the king in activity, the yajna, the big yajnas that the kings perform, if they're specifically aimed at satisfying Vishnu, then all the society, everyone cooperates in the society. The yajna that the kings perform, the public yajnas, are the offering of, because everyone offers, their work is offered to the king, and he offers everything to Vishnu. So they all partake in that. So even one may be in the lower modes, or even without that kingly setup with yajnas, if the consciousness is there that we're all here to serve Krishna, then sve sve karmanya bharata sangsiddhim labhate naraha swakarmana tamabhyacha siddhi vindati manava. So even if one may be in the lower modes, if he's engaged in Krishna consciousness, he may not be thinking about it personally or discriminating, but just like the Shudras, they don't have much independence, very little independence. But if they're directed by a good master, they may not even know what they're doing or why they're doing it, but because they're directed toward Vishnu, that's their good fortune, and they get the benefit of that. So I don't know if that fully answered your question, because I wasn't fully sure of what the question was. It's similar to the commonly asked question, well, if we're all controlled by the modes, then where's our independence? Which question often comes up with the Prakriti Kriyamarnani verse. So the modes of nature, they're definitely very influential. But by spiritual knowledge, one can rise above them. Without tattva-gyan, knowledge of reality, knowledge of how everything is working, then we're just tossed around in the material ocean. And that's all.
Propagating Krishna consciousness, there should be no consideration of this. Anyone who surrenders just to Krishna?
Anyone who surrenders to Krishna, whatever their background.
So, it seems from these statements that surrendering, which is a function of independence, at least not completely.
Surrendering to Krishna is a function of one's independence, it's a function of the soul, ultimately.
So, the modes in the human life influence, but still there is some independence left And so even though one is
the mode's influence, but there's still some independence left. Yeah, but people are very low in the mode of ignorance. They don't have much independent thought left, just like a drug addict or an alcoholic. They don't have much ability to uplift it. They're so overpowered by the modes of nature, by the mode of ignorance. They cannot come up. Therefore, from the beginning of life, children should be guided so that they can go up and out of this material world. We want to protect them from the influences of the demoniac society.
But we also see some people who are otherwise, they appear to be satguna, they are self-controlled, they are materially knowledgeable, but they are very averse to take to Krishna consciousness, whereas others may be drunkards, but when approached,
so the question is, sometimes people who appear to be very low in the modes, drunkards for instance, they may be more inclined to chant Hare Krishna than someone who's sophisticated, materially cultured. That may be also, because one's situation within the modes of nature is not necessarily a reflection of the sukriti, the bhakti sukriti, which one has acquired in previous lives. It's not necessarily a reflection of that. We always have to remember when dealing with people that we're not... This modern idea is there that it's that everything, a person is a product of their environment and genetics, these two things. Some people stress more on the genetics, some people stress more on the environment. This is different schools of psychology. But we accept both of those. But a major factor is one's previous conditioning in previous lives also. So that's a factor in that modern psychologists, they don't take into account at all. But anyone in any condition can take to Krishna consciousness. But still, it's more expected that people who are somewhat cultured, they will take to Krishna consciousness. People who are somewhat thoughtful, people who have some noble motives in life. It's generally expected like that. But it's not stereotyped. You can't make a mathematical formula, like statistical probability. I guess you could do it to some extent. That it's more likely that people from this class were, just like we Prabhupada said, the hippies are our best customers. Now in India today we see it's good to preach to the young students, but there's no particular formula. It's no guarantee that because someone's from a student background, they're going to take to Krishna consciousness, or someone who's from a meat-eating, drunkard, womanizing background, they can also take. So there's no... There are some trends, you can say, but it's by no means stereotyped.
In the book, Chaitanya Shikshamrita, Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes that, like the Varnashram is arranged that people gradually come to Satuguna, and thereby they are more inclined to take to Krishna consciousness. But if they become proud at any level, that means they get stuck up at there, then they become averse. But otherwise it is, in general, it is conducive.
Yeah. So that's a major factor. Daksha was proud, therefore he thoughtlessly scolded Lord Shiva, thinking that Lord Shiva was inferior to himself.
This situation is going to be used in as an example that bhakti is independent. Like
that's also a very important point. Yeah.
Like, I mean, Prahlad Bhakti, Nrisimha Purana is stated that he was he had to quarrel with a prostitute, and it was a Nrisingha Chaturdashi day, and he became Prahlad, and then this dog who captured a bird and ran three times around the temple. And
that's also an important point, that bhakti is, there's no mathematical formula you can give. Bhakti is also independent. Someone who may appear very qualified for Krishna consciousness may not take to it. And someone who appears totally disqualified, they may take to it. So, there's no... We can say there are general trends, but over and above all of that, there's Krishna's causeless mercy and people's willingness to take it or not to take it. And powerful devotees, they can also just cut through all the mire in people's hearts. But it may not always happen. Just like Narada came back to Daksha after Narada had abducted the Haryashvas and Shavalashvas. And Narada thought, now Daksha is lamenting, now I'll make him Krishna conscious too. But Daksha would have nothing of it. Prabhupada, he preached to so many people. A relatively small number of people took his message. He didn't. It's not that he gave more mercy to some than to others. But some took it, I mean, in the matter of coming to Krishna consciousness. Just like he would speak in Conway Hall in London, hundreds of people present. Some people took it up, most didn't. Srila Prabhupada would have been ready to accept any one of them, or all of them, if they took it up. He wanted that, but not all of them were open to accept his message.
Will it be right to say that independence is there and the modes are alluring it, but then it is the independence which has to decide whether it wants to get allured ultimately or not?
Maya's influence is there, but ultimately it is up to us to decide or not. But in the lower modes of nature, our power of discrimination is highly inhibited. So that's what I was saying. In the mode of passion, really, the sense of right and wrong becomes prominent. In the mode of ignorance, one is unthinking, practically like an animal. Even if there is some sense of right and wrong, he doesn't care. Even if you tell him you're going to go to hell for all this, he doesn't care. He's just extremely dull. That sense of right and wrong is there in the mode of passion, but relating to mundane morality. And in the mode of goodness, the thought of what is the ultimate reality, that becomes prominent more than simply right and wrong. This is what I understand about all this. Hare Krishna. Is any more? Are there any more questions from yourself? Okay. Well, now we'll finish now. Because, we'll go up to 9 o'clock. Is that the stipulated time? Okay. Go and ask then from this book, Watering the Seed, by His Holiness Giriraja Swami. You can ask him if you like. You can send him an email. He always responds quickly to any email I send. Within 24 hours, he responds. You can ask him. You want to do that? Why don't you write and ask him? Can do. He can answer you better than me. Otherwise, I can just imagine what he's thinking, like the deconstructionists. They read something and they give a completely different meaning to what the author intended. So you can write to him. Send him an email. He'll be pleased that you're giving so much thoughtfulness to his book. You can forward me the replies. I'm also interested. Hare Krishna. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Sri Sri Gauranitai ki jai, Hare Krishna.